you got a faithful group here that's dedicated to keeping the church going, Amen. Keeping the doors open, and that's an important thing. Boy, there's too many churches today that are closing their doors and never to reopen, most of them.
Yeah.
Once they're gone, they're gone, and you know, it's a real bummer for me. You see, you know, these old church buildings being converted into apartments or some kind of a business, you know, and it makes me think of being over in Europe, because most of the churches over in Europe, they're just museums now, or, you know, the only time they're open is during the tourist season when people want to take a tour through them. That's all they do. That's all they're used for. And so anyway, I applaud you for staying by the stuff and keeping the doors open. And I know if you're dedicated to doing that, the Lord will send you somebody, whether it's me or somebody else. He'll send the right person as long as you're praying. Keep praying. Amen. That's the main thing. Well, let's see. Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. It's a simple message, simple title to the message here this morning. It's called Glory to God. Glory to God.
Amen.
It's very important to acknowledge God when He does provide for us. And I'm always thankful that I was born in America, where I have had a better than average chance of hearing the gospel and getting saved.
Amen.
I praise the Lord. I wasn't born in Indonesia or Saudi Arabia. You know, it's a blessing that I was born here and saved at an early age. I praise the Lord for that. I praise the Lord that I didn't have to go through a lot of things that make it harder. You know, the older you get, the harder it is to get saved. Let's be honest about it.
Amen.
It's good to get saved when you're young, and it kept me from getting into some things that a lot of other men get involved in as they grow older. And I'm not saying that I was perfect or anything else, but I praise the Lord that I've never been drunk, I've never been high. You know, I give the Lord all the credit for that, because I grew up in a public school and the opportunity was always there. Grew up in a public school, went to university for a couple of years, and the temptations are all around you. And I pray for these young men, especially that are going off to college somewhere.
Yeah.
You talk about the evil day. That's when the evil day shows up at your doorstep. And so I am just amazed. You talk about praying. We need to be really praying for our young folks. I can't imagine being his age, Caleb, right? And growing up in the world the way it is now.
Amen.
I mean, I'm not that old. I'm only 54 years old. But boy, this country is nothing like I grew up in when I was Caleb's age. It's the devil's doing a masterful work. And one good thing about it is it just tells me we're getting close to the end.
Yeah.
And the Lord's coming. This may be the year.
Amen.
This very well could be the year that the Lord comes back and calls us away. Come up hither. And I always like to look for that around springtime. You know, if you study your Bible and you get down there around Song of Solomon chapter 2, maybe. I told folks at the nursing home up there in Wisconsin a couple of weeks ago, I said, well, this may have been the last holiday season you'll ever celebrate here on this earth. We may be shouting glory for long. So I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. So this message about glory to God, that's what we're going to be looking at here. And before we get started, let's pray. Father, I do thank you for this place. Thank you, Lord, that these folks here, pray that you'd bless them now. I pray, Lord, that you'd help me get out of the way and that you just wash me in your precious blood and hide me behind the cross, Lord, and that you would do the work here. I pray that you would glorify yourself now through the scriptures and through the reading of the Word of God and the preaching, Lord. And I pray that you'd just cover this place with the blood of Jesus Christ, rebuke the devil. And Lord, I pray that you'd have your way amongst those that are here this morning. Pray that you put a spirit of hearing upon the ears of each one here. And ultimately, Lord, that you would receive all the praise and the glory for what's going to take place. And we pray that you be pleased with it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, if you look down at verse 20, it says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." So if there's any place in the world that someone should be, God should be getting glory, it should be in the church. Amen. That at least. Amen. If there's any place that God should be getting glory, it should be in the church. But unfortunately, that's not always true. That's not always the case. Sometimes we get churches that get full of themselves and preachers that get full of themselves. And it's all the show. It's all about me and what I can do and my great I'm not a great speaker, so you're going to find that out real quick. I just try and do what the Lord tells me to do, and I give him all the credit. Because if it was up to me, I'd make a train wreck out of whatever it is, if he leaves it up to me in my hands. So the Lord is the one who's got to receive the glory, especially in the church. It's not supposed to be about us. And, if you read through your Bible very much, you find out that God's pretty jealous of that glory business. He says, "I will share it with no one." I will share it with no one. I heard a fella, he was a missionary over in South Africa, and they had a big gathering with all a bunch of other missionaries from around the region there, and kind of having a fellowship and some, just kind of getting rejuvenated with some preaching and so forth. Well, they had a time where some fellows were giving testimonies, some of the different missionaries from other parts of the region there, and one young fella stood up and he started giving a testimony, and just in a little bit of him giving a testimony, he was just taking a little bit of the credit for himself for what was going on in the area that he was at there. And this one old saint of a man, he'd been in South Africa for I don't know how many years he'd been there, but old gray-headed preacher, and he stands up in the middle of this man's testimony and says, "Don't touch the glory." And the place, you could have heard a pin drop, right? And the young man up behind the pulpit, he kind of, gathered himself and continued. He started giving his some more testimony. And sure enough, it's so easy to do it. You got to really watch yourself. And so he starts doing it again. And the old man stands up again. He said, "Don't touch the glory." And boy, what a lesson that whole place learned that day. Amen. You don't want to take any glory that belongs to God. Our girls, when we were traveling on the road, we have three daughters, and they would sing with my wife. And, the Lord blessed them with voices they could harmonize together, and people really appreciated it when they sang. And so, it's natural. People come up and thank them for singing and being a blessing to them. And we taught them just from the time they were little girls, says, "Listen, just saying thank you is taking some of that glory away from the Lord." So when somebody comes up to you and thanks you for, singing or serving the Lord somehow, you need to say, "Praise the Lord."
Amen.
Not thank you.
Amen.
And so they got used to doing that, and to this day they still, and sometimes it gets an odd response because people come up and they'll say, "Wow, that was a really great song," and they'll say, "Praise the Lord," and the people kind of look at them like, "What?" Because most people will say, "Oh, thank you, I know, I got a really good voice, you know. You know, they're not saying that, but in their mind they're thinking that, right? And it's called getting puffed up, right?
Amen.
You got to be careful, because your flesh is as wicked as mine.
Amen.
And it likes to have praise.
Yep.
And it likes to, oh yeah, yeah, you know. You know, you get, how you spend, I know you ladies, you know, you get in front of that mirror and, you know, get everything, every hair just right. And I'm, that's okay, that's okay. But make sure that you're doing it for the right reason. And men are the same way, you know. Getting, well, you're looking good today, you know. Now, if you have any kind, you know what, just the fact that you can walk and talk,
amen,
and speak and hear and see, you got a mind that works, you can stand on your two feet, glory to God.
Amen.
The only thing holding me up right now is God.
Amen.
When God decides to stop holding me up, I'll just fall in a heap.
Amen.
That's spirit. It all goes to Him. And so when it comes to glory, we should be reflectors. If somebody tries to heap glory upon us, we should just be like a big mirror and reflect it all up to Him.
Amen.
It all goes to Him. And that's the best way to keep things the way they should be. So anyway, look back at this verse there in verse 20. I want to give you three things here real quick about this verse. And the first point about glory to God is the time. When should you give glory to God? All right, verse 20. Now. You say, when should I give glory to God? Now.
Amen.
Well, what about, you know, yeah, now. Now. When do you give glory to God? Now. He says now.
Amen.
N-O-W. Now. That's the time to give glory to God. Look over at Psalm. Keep your mark your place here. We'll come back. But turn over to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Look down there at Psalm 34, verse 1. David says this: I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's the time. It's always time.
Amen.
It's always now, right? Don't worry about doing it tomorrow. Do it now. Because tomorrow never comes. You ever notice that? Tomorrow never comes. It's always today. Right? Tomorrow it'll be today. So now, now's the time. You need to do it now. Look over to Psalm 71. Psalm 71. Look down at verse 8. Psalm 71 and verse 8. Again, David says, let thy mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. All the day. That's how you glorify God. You give Him thanks. You give Him praise. You give Him honor. That's really a lot of what the song service is all about.
Amen.
It's not just a formality that, well, you know, we gotta sing two songs, take up the offering, sing another song, and then the preaching. You know, it's not just a routine. It shouldn't be.
Amen.
It shouldn't be. Those songs, you look at those, the majority of the songs in that hymn book, and they're written by men and women whose main motive and goal for writing the music and the words was to praise God.
Amen.
And that's going to affect everything. That's going to affect the environment in this room. If the devil's anywhere close to it, you just sing about three songs praising the Lord and talking about what a wonderful Savior He is, and the devil will skedaddle and get out of here because he don't like that. And that's good. I like things the devil don't like. Because he's a punk and I hate him. And so I just assume, you know, sometimes you just need to tell the devil to go home. If you know what I mean. That's a nice way of putting it. And so you need to praise Him and give Him honor and praise all the day long. Now, the time is always now. Look over at Psalm 113. We'll look at a couple more here. Psalm 113. And look down there at verse 3. Psalm 113 and verse 3. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. We used to have that in big black letters on the back of our RV when we were on the road. And you'll never go wrong praising the Lord.
Amen.
You'll never go wrong giving glory to God. And you should be doing it. You should be doing it. And the time is always now. So don't stop. And if you haven't started, you need to get after it.
Amen.
You need to make sure, see, that will help you keep your mind on what's right. That'll help you keep your mind on what's right. Well, what about when things are going bad? Things ain't working out so well. Glory to God. Could be worse.
Amen.
Glory to God, it's not any worse than it is. You say, well, you really believe that? Yeah. Yeah, I really believe that. Because as soon as you think you've got it bad, there's somebody that's got a lot worse than you do.
Amen.
And if you don't believe that, go spend some time ministering down at the jail or the children's hospital or the old folks' home or the veterans' home, wherever you want to go. There's always somebody that's worse off than you are. And glory to God that I'm not laying in a bed somewhere, unable to move or anything else. Things don't always go the way we want them to go. That's the difference between a lost person and a saved person. How do you approach life when things don't go the way you want them to go?
Amen.
I remember how I used to be. I had a fuse about that long. When things didn't go the way I wanted them to go, you better not be close by. Something might come flying through the air. You know, the difference is now, if you're right with God and you've got your mind and your heart towards God where it should be, even when things don't go right, you say, okay, Lord, I know you're in control. I don't like to say, and you can talk to God. You know, God knows if you're upset about it,
Amen.
God already knows. Tell Him.
That's right.
I've done that before. I say, okay, Lord, this is bad. I ain't liking this, you know. I don't know what's going on. You got to show me what's going on because this is not, you know, just talk to Him.
Amen.
And make sure you give Him glory.
Amen.
Make sure you give Him glory. Now, back there in Ephesians, where we looked at the verse, Ephesians chapter 3. I should have marked my home place. Ephesians chapter 3. The very first word, the time is always now. Now the second point is the target. All right, we got the time and we got the target. Verse 20, now, unto Him.
Amen.
Him. He should always be the target of the glory, like I mentioned earlier. You don't want to be trying to take any of that glory for yourself. It's not going to be a good thing. It's not going to work out well. Look over to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus. The time is always now, and the target is always Him. Exodus chapter 34. And look down at verse 14. Exodus chapter 34 and verse 14. The Bible says, "For thou shalt worship no other god. For the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God." I told somebody that one of the names of... this is in church now. This was somebody who went to church, not somebody in the lost world. I said, you know, one of the names for God is Jealous. They say, it is not. You made that up. I said, why don't you go read your Bible?
Amen.
They're like, God's a good God. He would never be jealous. That's bad. No, God is jealous. That's one of his names. And you know one of the things he's really jealous about? His glory.
Amen.
His glory. Look over at Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42, look down at verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images.
Amen.
So, I tell you what, I wouldn't want to be around anywhere close to some of these churches, so-called, that worship something besides Jesus Christ. And you know, you can go out on the street out here and you can talk to people about God all day long and never raise the hackles on anybody. But as soon as you start talking about the fact that Jesus Christ is God, boy, you better look out. Jesus Christ, they don't like that when you start being intolerant. You start being a bigot. That's what they'll call you because you say, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the... You know what? They get upset.
Amen.
Because we want a God that includes everybody. Well, you know what? God gives everybody a chance. But you got to come through Him and nobody else, and He gets the glory. Nobody else gets the glory.
Amen.
You said... Look over to Acts chapter 12. You see what happens when you start messing around with God's glory. Herod found out.
Yeah.
Acts chapter 12. Look down at verse 21. Acts chapter 12, verse 21. Upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God and not of a man. And right there he should have stopped them. But he didn't. In verse 23, immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. So if you want to mess around with God's glory, go ahead. Just leave me out of it. I don't want any part of it. The only target for glory should be God, and He's the only one that's worthy of it. He's the only one that should be getting any kind of glory in the church, just like it said there in Ephesians chapter 3. One more, look back at 1 Chronicles 29. We didn't look at that one yet. 1 Chronicles 29. First Chronicles 29. Look down at verse 10. First Chronicles 29 and verse 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might. And in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. That's why David was a man after God's own heart. Because even when David messed up, even when David made mistakes, which we all do, if you're living in the flesh, if you're still breathing air, you're going to mess up, you're going to make mistakes. And the whole key to David was when he was confronted with his mistakes, he didn't bow up and get all proud and say, well, make excuses. No, he humbled himself before God because he knew who was in charge. He knew where the glory should go to. He never took, at least, well, I should say never, but very seldom. You don't see a lot of times where David's taking glory for himself. He's always giving glory to God and praising God for the things that took place. So, you want to be a man after God's own heart. You want to be a woman after God's own heart. Always be giving praise and glory and honor to Jesus Christ and God. So that's the target. That's the target. Don't take it for yourself. Don't take it for yourself. So, you want to bring glory to God in the churches, go ahead back there to Ephesians chapter 3 again. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. We see the time is now. The target is Him. And boy, just because He is God, there you should need no other reason. But if that's not reason enough, look at the rest of the verse there. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, I can think about quite a bit. I don't know about you, but I can think. I may not ask for a lot or do a lot, but I can think a lot. I can think of a lot of things. And this says God is able to do exceeding abundantly above any of that, according to the power that worketh in us. So, if for no, like I said before, just the fact that He is God Almighty, that should be reason enough. But when you look at the testimony, when you come through the Word of God, you read through that Bible back and forth, back and forth. It's just God doing just what He said there. Miraculous things. Things you would never think of. Things you would never come up with on your own. And the testimony that He has. Look over at Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. We should give God glory for the testimony that He has through history. Revelation chapter 4, look at verse 11 there. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, the Bible says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. The only reason for you, why didn't God take you to heaven when you got saved? That'd be all right, wouldn't it? You know, you kneel down there and you ask the Lord to save you, and then poof, that'd be a deal right there. That saved a lot of heartache for me anyway, because, you know, I've been saved now for 44 years, and it ain't all been good, you know what I mean? I've made a lot of mistakes. But you know what? He leaves you here because you're supposed to bring Him pleasure.
Amen.
Your job is to bring God pleasure. That's why He created you, to bring Him pleasure. And of course, one of the main purposes or one of the main ways that you bring glory and honor to God is when you acknowledge Him as God. When you acknowledge that you are nothing and He is everything. When you acknowledge that you're a lost, hell-bound sinner and He is the only safe Savior, that's all ways that we acknowledge and give glory to God. Just by getting saved. But then it should continue after that. You want to continue to give Him glory, of course, even after you're saved. Look over to chapter 1 here in Ephesians. Chapter 1 in Ephesians. And down there starting, well, let's see. Let's start in verse 3. It says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's some reason right there to give glory and praise and honor to God. You never would have thought of doing that. He gave you that and you didn't even know it existed. Verse 4, according as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. Really? Holy. How many of you think of yourself as being holy and without blame this morning? I don't know about that one. Holy and without blame before Him in love. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved.
Amen.
Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. And it goes on and on. It goes on and on. You know what? You know what gives Him glory? Is when, the devil has his crowd and God's got His crowd. And God says, see, that's a trophy. That's a trophy of My grace. See, I could have done him like I'm going to do you. But I had grace on him, and he acknowledged me, and he trusts me.
Amen.
You and I, that's a pleasure to God that His creation, right?
Mm-hmm.
His creation, that's you and me, would turn, because we're the only ones that disobey God. The rest of the creation obeys God and does what He wants them to do. But then there's us. And so when His creation turns and gives Him honor and praise and glory like we're supposed to, that brings pleasure to God. He likes that.
Amen.
He likes that. And so when you're singing those hymns on Sunday morning or whenever it is, hopefully, maybe you have some of those going through your mind during the week.
Mm-hmm.
Because that brings, Paul said to speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And so that brings pleasure to God, because I don't know about you, but you see the way the world is today, and you try and live in the world, and the way things are going, there's not a lot to sing about. But boy, if you're right with God and you're communing with Him, you got something to sing about.
Amen.
What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. You got to be careful about touching God's glory. And you got to make sure that you always have His praise on your lips, even when things don't go the way you want them to necessarily. He's been so good to us. Look over at 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy chapter 1, look down there in verse 15. We looked at a couple of these verses this morning in Sunday school. But look here at 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. Paul says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. Now, unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul, you know why Paul was a great man of God? Because he knew what I've been talking about here this morning.
Mm-hmm.
He knew that the time, and Paul had it pretty rough. I don't think any of us have gone through some of the persecution that Paul went through.
Amen.
I don't think any of us have gone through, the trials because we claim to be Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ like Paul did.
Yeah.
But you know what? He always gave glory to God. He always gave glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
He knew. And boy, yeah, Paul had a miraculous testimony when it came to salvation, but isn't it a miracle when anybody gets saved?
Amen.
It's a miracle that you got saved. It's a miracle that I got saved. You say, well, how's that? Because none of us were looking for God when we got saved.
Amen.
God come looking for you. He come looking for you. And so, we can't even glory in the fact that we got saved.
Amen.
You had nothing to do with it.
Amen. That's right.
You say, well, but I, no. No, you had nothing to do with being born the first time. You had nothing to say about it. You had no say at all. You were just, you know, you were just born. God says, all right, I'm going to born this one. And then when it came time to be born again, you had nothing to do with that. You say, well, but I prayed. God had already been working in here.
Amen.
The day you got saved, where'd that come from? Well, I was reading about... No, you might have been reading the Word of God. That's the only chance of getting saved is through the Word of God. You got to be... Something's got to be convicting you.
Amen.
And you don't have any control over the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit goes around knocking. We need to give all the glory to God because He's the one that controls everything. And your only response is to remember that you are supposed to give all the glory to Him and step away from it. If somebody tries to heap it on you, you need to step away from it and send it up. You need to send it up. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I'll finish up here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. Paul says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That's like I was mentioning before. You don't even have the ability to keep yourself alive. You don't have the ability to keep yourself moving and breathing. And, you know, it's only by the grace of God that your heart beats one more time.
Amen.
It's only by the grace of God that you take another breath. You don't even think about doing that stuff, right? Oh, come on, heart, keep going. You don't think about that. I almost forgot to breathe. Hang on a minute. You don't think about that. God does all that for you.
Amen.
And so we need to make sure that we give God all the glory, the praise, the honor. Everything belongs to Him. And don't take any of it for ourselves. And make sure when someone tries to give you glory, when somebody tries to put glory upon you, you need to reflect that and send it right up to God. And don't keep it for yourself. God's been so good to us, and we could never give Him enough glory. And we're going to spend a lot of time in heaven doing that very thing, so you might as well get practiced up now.
Amen.
And get ready for it. One of my favorite passages is back there in Revelation chapter 5. You probably know where I'm going. Back there in Revelation chapter 5, you know, they bring this book out, and nobody's found worthy to open it. Now, you would think, in all of heaven, nobody was found worthy to open that book. But then what happened? You know, John says he was weeping. Look at there, verse 4. I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open, to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever.
Amen.
You know, when we, my wife and I, after we first got married, we lived in Independence, Missouri, which is a suburb of Kansas City, Missouri. And we were, as the crow flies, we were probably, I want to say maybe 2 miles from Arrowhead Stadium, which is where the Kansas City Chiefs play. And I'm not a sports fan, but can I tell you this? You know, in the early fall, when we still had our windows open on the house, we could tell when the Chiefs scored a touchdown or had a big bust-out play. Because the stadium, the capacity of the stadium was like 85, 87,000, somewhere around there. And we could hear. We're 2 miles away. We were sitting inside of our house, and we could hear the roar of the glory and the praise going on at the Temple of Chief there at Arrowhead Stadium. Now, I figured it up one time. Up there where it says in verse 11, there was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands giving glory and praise to God. It would have taken eight completely packed out full Arrowhead stadiums. Now imagine that. We were hearing just one from 2 miles away. Buddy, that'll make the hair stand up on the back of your neck thinking about the glory and the praise and the honor that's going to be going up at the throne. Amen. When Jesus Christ goes and takes that book.
Amen.
Thou art worthy!
Amen.
Whew. Glory to God.
Yes.
Glory to God. Time is always now. Target is Him. And what a testimony He has. He deserves it all. He deserves it all. Amen? Yes. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for being our God. We thank You for being the true and the living God. Thank You, Lord, for allowing us to be a part of what You're doing in these last days. Lord, I just pray that You continue to bless this church. I pray that You would continue to bless the people here and that You would bless them for their faithfulness. Lord, I pray that You would bless Your word as it's preached and goes out from this pulpit. And Lord, I pray that this would continue to be a lighthouse to the community that's around it. Lord, I pray that You would get all the honor and the glory for any good that comes, and we'll be careful and not touch it and take any for ourselves. You alone are worthy. And we look forward to the day when we can look upon Your face and say thank You in person for all Your goodness to us. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.